the festival director of Māori Land Film Festival, Madeline Hakaraya de Jong, on the line, speaking to us. How are you doing today, Madeline?
Kia ora, I'm great, thanks.
It's great to speak to you. I'm very excited for this convo because Māori Land's always been a festival that I've been dying to go to. I haven't got to yet, but I'm very excited for it. And this year you get to be the festival director. What can you give the people a bit of an idea of what the kaupapa of the festival is?
Sure. So Māori Land is Aotearoa's International Indigenous Film Festival. So what that means is we bring stories from Indigenous filmmakers, from Māori, from Native Americans, from the Sapmi up in the top of Europe, all across Te Moana Nui Akiwa, the Pacific. We bring their films to Māori Land and show them here in Ōtaki and pop up. We create lots of screening venues around the town and celebrate Indigenous storytelling for the 5 days of the festival.
100%. I love it so much, especially it being in Ōtaki. I think is such a special thing because there's so much, I guess, strong Māori tongue around that area too. But this year, you're in the big chair. You're the boss. You're the festival director. How's that experience been for you, and how's the curation process been?
I think it's my second year in this role, but I've been with Māori Land since we started. Almost, we're heading into our 12th festival, so it's been a long process of growth, and you know, it's a little bit daunting being in the director's seat. But the thing that's really exciting about this year's festival is the range and quality of the films. We've got some extraordinary films at the festival this year. From our opening night film Hawke, which is a special presentation. It will be the first time audiences in Aotearoa get to see Kat Akasa Brown's debut feature film, which is about the aunties from Ngāti Porou, and stars Hinatu Dell and Dunning Christian going on a road trip up Aotearoa together. We've also got incredible documentaries. So Sugarcane, which is nominated for an Oscar, will have their team coming out from Turtle Island. It's a really powerful film about the impact of residential schools in Canada. But that's a story that we all know all across the Indigenous world. So from our own perspective here in Aotearoa, everyone might be aware of the Royal Commission into Abuse and State Care, that there was the apology last November. Sunny Arahanga has made a documentary about some of the survivors of that experience called The Stolen Children of Aotearoa, and that will have its world premiere on the Friday. And then in between that, you know, there's Shrek, Katahi Te Koroke, Shrek and Reo Māori, which is really, really fun.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, actually. My co-host, she was reading through the press release, and she's like, Shrek and Te Reo Māori, that's crazy.
Yeah, what was really exciting and cool about that kaupapa is it's a Māori Land production, so our team here at Māori Land were all working on that, and they pulled in almost all of us into the production, as well as our incredible kai kōrero in that kiriata. So Tua Koi Ohia is Princess Fiona, Maka Pohutu is Shrek, and as we've listened to the clips, like, I got to be a Duloc doll, and that, I have to say, that's one of the biggest highlights of my career so far, is to be able to say that I'm in, you can hear my voice just a little bit in the background alongside our kaimahi, but it also sounds, you know, Shrek, the comedy of it is so Māori,
yeah.
And so you can hear, you know, it just rolls, it feels like it was made to be in Aotearoa.
Man, that's a very special feeling. And you've had a bit of a guiding star. This year's festival theme is Ko Te Māori, He Mea Huna Ki Te Moana. Can you elaborate a bit on what that whakatauki means and why it was chosen for this year?
Yeah, so it refers to the kōrero, basically is the hidden depths within the ocean or what is hidden within us all. And I think it kind of spoke to us in two ways, that within us all there is so much power and storytelling, and our whakapapa that enables us to do incredible things. And so when you see the film from the festival, you'll see these incredible stories of resilience, of achievement, of Indigenous excellence that we may not get to see represented in a more mainstream space. But at the same time, there's also a lot of films in this year's program that speak to the status of our environment. And particularly across Te Moana Nui Akiwa, we're seeing the impacts of climate change really profoundly, and that especially present within the Moana itself. So while we, you know, we can feel these big storms coming through, and we can see those big snowfalls in North America or the fires that rip through the West Coast, but also if you look under the Moana, it's actually far more dramatic with coral bleaching and invasive starfish and algae that we really need to look to Awhanaunga from the islands to go, we have to do something about it.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. The festival's running from March 26th to the 30th, and it's over 130 films and digital works from 86 Indigenous nations, so it's massive. But I did kind of want to talk about, I guess, the physical aspect of it being in Ōtaki too. It feels like, from what I've seen, obviously from a distance, the festival energy permeates out into the community and it becomes a whole community event that's not just about film and art. Can you talk a little bit about that aspect too, and about bringing people to Ōtaki?
Yeah, I think that's one of my favourite things, you know, that this town is home to whakatukaranga rōmano. It has a huge Māori identity, and one of our partners in that is Te Wānanga o Rikua. Mm. And so the whole town turns out to host and manaaki our manuhiri at the festival. And like you said, it's a massive program. So we don't have hotels in Ōtaki. We don't have Uber. We don't have a cinema. We have to create temporary cinemas in the halls around town for the festival. But it means that everything's walking distance. And so you've got filmmakers and audiences spilling out onto the street. We're really lucky to have huge filmmaker participation. So when you go to a screening, you'll be able to hear from the person who made the film. But then just an hour or two later, you might be walking down and pop into a cafe and see them sitting there. And everybody's really open to have a kōrero. Mm. You know, this is a town where you walk down the street and everybody's saying, kia ora, kia ora.
Yeah.
You don't have to know them. It's a friendly place to be, and so that ripples out through the festival. And like, as well as the screenings you mentioned, art, we've got Toi Matara art gallery, we've got a food truck little area with grass and music and light so that people have somewhere to take a moment after the screening and have a kōrero, and lots of other activities all through to our red carpet party on Sunday night, where we're really lucky to have Lady Shaka coming to bring the house down.
I bet all the fashionistas of Ōtaki pull up for that one. It feels like the whole kaupapa is has almost grown out of that kind of Barry Barclay mentality of taking your film around and showing it to the people. As those filmmakers, Merata Mita too, are they kind of the genesis of this and one of the reasons why you wanted to do it in a community?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because what we've seen over the last decade of Māori land is for such a long time, Merata was the only wahine Māori feature filmmaker to have a film out in the world. Mm. But Merata's impact rippled all around the Indigenous world. She spent a lot of time working with the Sundance Institute and training filmmakers over there and in Hawaii. And now we've got a collective of Indigenous filmmakers around the world who are all, we're part of a global community, and yeah, we're all incredibly supportive of each other. So while we've only necessarily been making Māori films for the past 40 years, we're seeing an acceleration and an advancement as we come into the second third. Or if we look at the tamariki filmmakers in our program, fourth generation of Indigenous storytellers.
Yeah, Merata, so special. I remember the first time I ever watched Bastion Point, that documentary, and I don't know, it just hits you like a ton of bricks. Like the storytelling is amazing. I did want to ask you about this festival program, and you kind of touched on it already, but do you have a film that's your secret favorite? I know you can't really be biased, but do you have a little baby or someone, something that you're like, you know, really love this one?
You know what? It really depends on what mood you're in, eh?
Like, you can't fence it, Melon.
No, but I was going to say, I have a real soft spot for scary movies movies that make you want to yell at the screen.
Mm.
And so one of the films that sits in the area, we're actually really lucky to have two really hearty, scary films in this year's program. One of them is Siege by Gunnar Dio Horn. And so if people have watched Reservation Dogs, Dio played Dear Lady, and she has written and directed and starred in this revenge, environmental action thriller about an influencer who goes back to the res, and it turns out one of the big bad seed companies is out to find her whānau's heritage seed, and what ensues. It's absurd, but it's also so grounded in real life and, you know, things that we know are happening in the world.
Yeah.
And in a similar vein, James Ashcroft coming, the role of Jenny Penn. So he made Coming Home in the Dark, which screened at Māori Land a few years ago with Matthias Luafutu in it. And so Jenny Penn is set in an arrest home. It's deeply unnerving. It stars Geoffrey Rush and John Lithgow, so the guy who played Lord Farquaad in Shrek.
What?
And also George Kennedy. And it's this really disturbing film about the disenfranchisement that happens when we put our kaumātua in homes or in hospitals and kind of leave them to be looked after by somebody else.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's heartache, but it's also, like, it's a scary movie about a doll.
Yeah. I'm going to have to tell Auntie to get her on, because she's in that space, and she's always saying we need more, I guess, knowledge of this. So it was really beautiful. For the people who are listening to this, and obviously after listening to this, they're like, let me get a ticket. Where can they get a ticket?
Yeah, so you can, if you happen to be coming through Kapiti, we've got our Māori Land box office open here on Main Street in Ōtaki. But you can also grab your tickets on iTicket. They've got all the details on there. The full program's on our website, mfs.māorilandfilms.co.nz. And I reckon, like, one of the beautiful things about Ōtaki, I'm lucky that I call myself a dual citizen of Tamaki Makaurau and Ōtaki. My whānau are from Ōtaki, but I've spent a lot of time in Tamaki and go back often. And it's not actually that big a miss. You know, you fly into Paraparaumu from Auckland Airport and it's 15 minutes up the road. And it's a mean way to spend a long weekend as well.
Yo, and the drive is all good too. It's not even that far.
Yeah.
Grab some mates, stop for a swim on the way to Mickey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, stop at Taupō.
Too good.
Have a mean, go to the hot springs at Tukanu.
I'm picturing it now. You know what? You're tempting me. You're tempting me.
The thing is, like, people come from all over, you know. If someone can travel from Greenland, you know, 56 hours to get here, it's not that bad doing an 8-hour drive.
Yeah, you're right. You're so right. Thank you so much for speaking to us, and good luck for the festival.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Kia ora.
Kia ora.